Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Yet, despite His being equally kind to everyone, He has graciously come before me while I'm ending my life, for I'm His unflinching servitor. Purport. The Supreme Lord, the Absolute Personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, although equal to everyone, is still more inclined to His unflinching devotee who is completely surrendered and knows no one else as His protector and master. Having unflinching faith in the Supreme Lord as one's protector, friend and master is the natural condition of eternal life. A living entity is so made by the will of the Almighty that he is most happy when placing himself in a condition of absolute dependence. The opposite tendency is the cause of fall down. The living entity has this tendency of falling down by dint of misidentifying himself as fully independent to lord it over the material world. The root cause of all troubles is there in false egotism. One must draw towards the Lord in all circumstances. The appearance of Lord Krishna at the deathbed of Bhishmaji is due to his being an unflinching devotee of the Lord. Arjuna had some bodily relation with Krishna because the Lord happened to be his maternal cousin, but Bhishma had no such bodily relation. Therefore, the cause of attraction was due to the intimate relation of the soul. Yet, because the relation of the body is very pleasing and natural, the Lord is more pleased when His address are the son of Maharaj Nanda, the son of Yashoda, the lover of Radharani. This affinity by bodily relation with the Lord is another feature of reciprocating loving service with the Lord. Bhishma Dev is conscious of the sweetness of transcendental humor, and therefore he likes to address the Lord as Vijay Sakhi, Partha Sakhi, etc. Exactly like Nanda Nandana or Yashoda Nandana. The best way to establish our relation in transcendental sweetness is to approach him through his recognized devotees. One should not try to establish the relation directly. There must be a via medium which is transparent and competent to lead us to the right path. So the verse again. Tathapi kanta bhakteshu pasya bhopanukampitam yamme sums tyajata sakshat krishna darshanam agataha. Yet, despite his being equally kind to everyone, he has graciously come before me while I'm ending my life, for I'm his unflinching servitor. Om Gyanatamandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimate Giriraj Swamini Tinamini Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamini Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshitarini Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayati Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vandi Shri Guru Dhinatarini. Hare Krishna. So with all your permission, I may repeat the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, I found this section very interesting, and I just thought we can go through the previous verses and put this particular verse in context. So, actually, I just happened to land in here, in the middle, and I was a little confused. So, reading the section was very helpful. So, I found that this section is actually addressing the law of karma. how it applies to different people. And here it's about great personalities. It's about the Pandavas, specifically Yudhishthira Maharaj, who's completely disturbed that he's the cause of such a massacre. And therefore, there is sinful reactions. He couldn't be consoled. So this entire section is actually discussed in Madhurya Kadambini by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, who explains very systematically about the cause of suffering, distress to all. And then he comes to this specific section about the Pandavas. So if we see somebody in distress, does it automatically mean that there is karma from previous birth? So we also walk around in society of devotees, a very special society. So if we look just like and go by the book, say, okay, there is suffering, so automatically it means I have a past bad deed and therefore there is suffering. So Bhishma Dev will elucidate this, and Prabhupada deeply in the purport explain this. So what is it? Who's the cause of the suffering of the Pandavas? So that's the question. So Bhishma Dev says that you are completely pious and the Supreme Lord Krishna himself is with you. So how is it that you're suffering? It's the cause is time. So Prabhupada explained that as soon as you walk into this material world, immediately you are subject to the three gunas and we are under the influence of time. The sun rises and sets, and as it goes along its path, all the other grahas are moving along with it. And naturally, when it rains, whether we are devotee or non-devotee, whoever we may be, everybody experiences rain. And when it snows, if you happen to be in this particular area, we experience it. So whoever we may be, devotee, no devotee, pure devotee, Mahabhagwat, whoever we may be, as soon as we step into the material world, expect the threefold miseries. And we saw with the Pandavas, it was royal politics. We speak politics among ourselves, household politics, but this is royal politics, so we can understand the intensity of it. So Bhishma Dev says, your suffering is not due to your bad karma. You haven't done any misdeed. It is only due to the influence of inevitable time. So this word inevitable, I mean, it cannot be stopped. I'll just say we walk in and that's it. So now come the next point, that this kala, is it independent? You know, so we walk in and time is upon us. Is it just independent? Is it just moving automatically? Though it's true, it's a system. It's a system. So it's been launched. The sun will rise and will set. It's a system. But it is under control. So whose control? So Bhishma Dev says it is under the control of the Supreme Lord. Then, so why is it that the Supreme Lord should want his devotee, actually his personal associate, why should he want them to suffer? So that's the great mystery. So Prabhupada explained that actually any karma that we experience is to teach us lessons. We are supposed to learn something from it. It's not just punishing somebody out of anger or hatred. No, it is to learn something from it. But the pure devotee, do they have anything to learn? The associates of the Lord, do they have anything to learn? And if they have anything to learn, Prabhupada says, the Supreme Lord, who is in their hearts, will guide them. Therefore, the pure devotee cannot make mistakes. So that is out of question, again, that it is due to karma, some bad deeds. So what is the cause? So it's explained, Prabhupada elucidates. He says that the Supreme Lord uses the pure devotees to teach the world. So the external manifestation of karma in the lives of pure devotees is simply to teach the entire world how to deal with karma and what to learn from it. So this is the point. Then comes the next point. So this Krishna, you know, he's so cruel. He inflicts so much suffering on his devotee. How would you like that? You become devotee and the Supreme Lord just put you through, even to teach others, but still it hasn't been pleasant. So who's this Krishna? So Bhishma Dev explained. He said, this Krishna, who people blame as the cause of the war. Maybe you know the Jain, they say that Krishna is, you know, where's Krishna according to the Jain? Where's Krishna? In hell, yeah. Krishna's in hell. Why? Because he's the cause of the war. That's their philosophy. So now Bhishma Dev is saying that this Krishna is actually Narayan. He appears to be just an ordinary member of your family, but actually he's not an ordinary person. He's Narayan. So Narayan is beyond doubt. Whatever he may be doing is absolute, completely absolute. So no doubt about this. And if he acts, so this is text 21, being the absolute personality of Godhead, he's present in everyone's heart. He's equally kind to everyone, and he's free from the false ego of differentiation. Therefore, whatever he does is free from material inebriety. He's equibalanced. So the Supreme Lord never loses his cool and just blots somebody out of false ego. He picks on somebody for whatever reason. So the Supreme Lord doesn't behave in this way. He's totally equibalanced. So this is how Bhishma Dev is addressing this point about karma, the cause of distress, and pinpointing that it's time, which as soon as we come in this material world, we come under the influence of inevitable time. And this time is under the Supreme Lord. And the Supreme Lord, is he partial or impartial? Is he egoistic or is he not egoistic? So he establishes that the Supreme Lord is completely equibalanced and is the absolute truth. Then comes the next couple of verses, which is so beautiful. So now Bhishma Dev, after speaking like just to pacify the Pandavas, now, and he's saying the Supreme Lord is equal and impartial, equal to all, impartial, and he's the Paramatma. But now in this particular verse, Bhishma Dev has become very personal. He says, it's true, the Supreme Lord is impartial. He is equal to all, but he's showing me partiality. So that's how good we feel that the Supreme Lord is for everybody, but he's also specifically for me. Because we don't want impersonalism. We want a personal relationship with the Lord, one-to-one. Everybody's coming and taking darshan of Radha Gokulananda, but everyone wants that the glance of Krishna should be on me also. And on me specifically. So this is what Bhishma Dev is saying. Yet, despite his being equally kind to everyone, he has graciously come before me while I'm ending my life, for I am his unflinching servitor. So here now we'll go into depth, and we focus on this particular section. So, actually, my Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Girat Swami says, Prabhupada's purports are deceptively simple. So in this one purport, the entire philosophy of Madhurya Kadambini is being discussed, an act of devotion. So it can expand, each and every paragraph can expand huge. But we will do just a summary here. So, why is it that the Supreme Lord is attracted by his devotee? When there is absolute and complete dependence. So what is the disease of the conditioned soul? He wants to be independent. He actually wants to be fully independent. Whatever he wants to do, he wants to do it independently. So this is obvious in adults, but it is very much obvious in children. Children want to, you want to teach the child something, say, no, I know how to do. He'll push away your hand. He wants to do or she wants to do. They are very open about their attitude of independence. But in the heart of the conditioned soul, this is the problem. Everybody wants to lord it over matter. So, but by constitution, Prabhupada is saying here, the natural condition of eternal life is to be completely surrendered and know no one else as his protector and master. So when we misidentify ourselves as independent enjoyers of this material world, then this is the root cause of all troubles. So why are we suffering? Basically, that the question, the answer is here. Why are we suffering and sometimes enjoying? So here Prabhupada is saying, because we want to be fully independent to lord it over material nature. So now, why is it that the Supreme Lord came to Bhishma Dev? What is his specific qualification? So Bhishma Dev says, I am his unflinching servitor. What's the meaning of unflinching? Fixed. And now, this is the lesson from the life of the Pandavas, and which we have also observed in the lives of devotees, that whatever may happen to them, they never leave Krishna. We lose dear ones, we lose maybe a career, we lose wealth. So many things may happen to us. But following in the footsteps of the Pandavas, devotees don't give up Krishna. You don't criticize Krishna. Why did you do this to me? So unflinching faith and unflinching devotional service. And this is what attracted Krishna. So now it gets more intimate. So Prabhupada is actually very rasic, very so much sweetness. So Prabhupada is saying that Arjuna, he is the maternal cousin of Krishna. All right, everybody speaks of Krishna and Arjuna, good friends, very good friends, but they are cousin brothers. So Kunti Devi and Vasudev, they are brother and sister. So they are related directly to Arjuna. And Krishna is directly related to Arjuna. But Bhishma is from another dynasty. He's from the Kuru dynasty. So there is no bodily connection. So we can say that because Arjuna and Krishna, they are related. So you are related to your own family member. So naturally you favor your family member. But how is it that Bhishma has no bodily connection, but Krishna is coming? So this is the rasa. So without having any bodily connection, how is it that Krishna is coming and looking at Bhishma Dev? Shri Radha Gokulan ki jai, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki jai, Shri Gonitai ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai. So this is a very deep secret, which you have already studied in the prayers of Queen Kunti. When Kunti Devi prayed that break my attachment to both parties, Vrishni and the Yadu dynasty. On the one hand, she's connected to the Vrishnis, and on the other hand, to the Yadavas. Through marriage. So she said that break this relationship. And their same point is given here. So what is it that attracts devotee to devotee? What is it that attracts Krishna to the devotee? So it is not the body, it is the soul. So relationship, we make relationship based on the soul, because the soul is naturally attractive. Krishna is attractive, his very name means attraction, all attractive. So therefore we are attracted to the devotees, or even any living entity, even a little puppy we are attracted, a kitten we are attracted, not the dead body, but the living force within. So the soul is attractive, that's why we are attracted to devotees. So Krishna is attracted to Bhishma because of the soul relation, not because of the bodily relation. But then it goes higher. Now Prabhupada brings it to another level. He says, yet, because the relation of the body is very pleasing and natural, the Lord is more pleased when his address are the son of Maharaj Nanda, the son of Yashoda, the lover of Radharani. So this is prema. So in material world, there is aham mameti, ahankara. Aham means I, akar means I give a form to myself and the expansions of myself. Ahankara. And in prema, it is mamatva also, mamata, possession. So there is no meaning to life unless and until I say, my Radha Golokananda, my Radha Gokulananda. It's mine. Right? We love this. It's mine. So Bhishma Dev, here Prabhupada is explaining that the Lord is very pleased when we say Nanda Nandana or Yashoda Nandana. So the devotee is having a specific rasa, a specific mood of relationship. And the Supreme Lord Krishna, who's nobody's son, respond with that mood of love. So similarly, Arjuna is referred to as Vijay Sakhe, Partha Sakhe. So Bhishma Dev also wants to have a relationship. So maybe we have heard before that Bhishma Dev is in Vira Ras. So fighting mood, but it is not a permanent relationship. There are 7 secondary rasas and 5 primary rasas. So those secondary rasas, vira, valor, is one of them. So it's not always that Bhishma is in a fighting mood with Krishna. So here he says, I'm his unflinching servitor. So he's placing himself in the rasa of Dasya, at least in this verse here. So then, now Prabhupada explained the next point. He said that, so this is sweetness, madhurya. So we've heard of Vaikuntha, then we've heard now this is Brajaras. So there is what we call the ragatmika bhaktas, rag. Rag means to be completely and totally absorbed in thoughts of something. And here the object is Krishna. The total Atma is, it's like colored. You know, if I take a piece of white paper and I soak it in red paper, in red ink, it becomes completely red. So like that, the mind, rag means the mind is absolutely and completely and spontaneously absorbed in Krishna only. In contrast to Vaikuntha, where there is a mood of awe and reverence. So ragatmika, bhaktas, those whose mind are totally and absolutely absorbed in spontaneous loving service to Krishna. So Prabhupada says, the best way to establish our relation in transcendental sweetness is to approach him through his recognized devotees. So ragatmika bhaktas are recognized devotees. You know, if somebody wants to serve you, then if you want to know how to serve that person, then you ask somebody who is close to that devotee. Say, how do I serve? What does he like? What does she like? And then we serve. So here Prabhupada is making the same point, that if we want to establish this relationship, which is very intimate and very difficult, extremely difficult, because we have in us this tendency to be independent and to lord it over matter. So even when I see my Supreme Lord, so much sweetness, we don't know the crooked heart, how he may try to extract something from the relationship. So therefore, somebody who is a recognized, authorized devotee is the check, who will see, will scrutinize us, our motivation, train us. One should not try to establish the relation directly. There must be a via medium which is transparent and competent to lead us to the right path. So this is called Raga Nuga Bhakti. So there's the Ragatmika devotees who are established devotees, could be Nitya Siddha, or could be they have achieved that position of pure love for Krishna. And Prabhupada here is saying that this particular mood of Raga is called Raga Nuga Bhakti, following in the footsteps of the ragatmika devotee. So even though we are not approaching the Supreme Lord directly, but the person in between, via media, but that person is transparent. Transparent means that he's not in our way. He's connecting us, but the Supreme Lord is visible. His service is to deliver us to Krishna. And therefore, he has no material motivation himself. He's transparent, like the glass. We can see through. And he's competent. Two qualifications for the guru, the ragatmika bhakti. Two qualifications. He is transparent, genuine. He doesn't have the disqualification of the conditioned soul. And he is competent, meaning he knows the science. If he doesn't know the science, how can he lead us? So this is the gist of this particular purport. And this is very, very sweet. So we can study it more by going through Madhurya Kadambini. I think maybe some of you have read it or studied it in great depth. Hare Krishna, thank you very much.